Are you ready? Ready to release internal pain? To find confidence, clarity, and direction for your future? To live a life of meaning, fulfillment, and contribution? To trust your intuition again, but something's been holding you back? You've come to the right place. Welcome. I'm Ian Hawkins, the host and founder of the Grief Code podcast. Together, let's heal your unresolved or unknown grief by unlocking your grief code. As you tune in to each episode, you will receive insight into your own grief, how to eliminate it, and what to do next. Before we start, I have one request. If any new insights or awareness land with you during this episode, please send me an email at info@ianhawkinscoaching.com and let me know what you found. I know the power of this work and I love to hear the impact these conversations have. Okay, let's get into it. I drifted for the first 38 years of my life. Then I learned that it's never too late to find your life's purpose. Towards the end of his life, my dad came to the door and he was dropping something off. And then as he went to leave, he turned and he said, "You know that money you owe me?" And I went, "Yeah." He said, "Don't worry about paying it back." And I just froze because I knew exactly what he meant. He knew he was dying and he knew he was dying soon. I just didn't know how to respond. Looking back now, I feel that he knew that he was telling me that as well. So, like I said, I froze, just didn't say anything for what seemed like an eternity. And then I would have muttered something like, "Oh, okay," like really nervously. And then I just remember walking in from that, just going, "Oh, wow, like this is real." Welcome to the Grief Code podcast, where together we will look at grief from a very different perspective than what you would have heard anywhere else. You are here for a reason, and as we take this journey together to heal your unresolved and unknown grief, you will unlock the Grief Code. I'll take you down the rabbit hole of the Grief Code, the different types of grief, the grief that holds you back, the tsunamis of grief that appear when you go through an event from past grief. And when you're ready, we will see, as I did, that you'll find meaning in your grief. You'll find the meaning in your life that you've always wanted, that you've been searching for, and you'll find the positive aspects of grief. That's one of the things that no one's talking about, or very few. That it's actually okay to find positives in grief. And there are many. You will discover a new version of yourself that not only will inspire yourself, but will inspire others. It'll allow you to feel the fulfillment that's possible through a life of growth and contribution. So who am I? Well, the simplest form of that is that I'm a man. I'm highly sensitive. I'm highly sensory. I love conversation. But as a kid, I was very shy. And I can remember sitting there in kindergarten, my first year of school, just barely saying a word, being petrified. But also at that age, I was so in tune with other people's emotions. And I could see what was going on for other people. And even at that early age, I was like, I don't want anyone else to have to go through what I'm going through. And because no one seemed to understand my emotional pain, and they didn't seem to understand what was going on for other people, which that I could see. And I had those thoughts like, what, can't you see that that person actually doesn't need that at the moment? They just need a hug, or they just need to be left alone, or they need someone to come and lift them up and get them involved in something. And so that sensitive child who saw the world through that lens, even when I was watching TV, sport, I was always analyzing to see how the people were getting along. it seems strange now, but it actually makes so much sense. But again, that's the way I saw the world. And if you think about your own life, you would see the world from a completely unique perspective too. It's made you who you are today. And while there may have been different challenges, it's actually allowed you to develop skills to deal with whatever you were going through, skills that you're going to be able to help other people who are going through similar challenges through similar challenges and give them whatever you've learned to help them. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to go and do something like I do, which is coach, but it allows you to touch the lives of those people who are in your life, to be able to help those important people in your life by really being able to identify with those unique skills. So like I said, highly emotional, but also I had the ability to coach. Like I became a coach when I was quite young in my teens, and I loved it and continued to coach. Sometimes even when people didn't ask for it, so I would naturally just coach people on the run, and particularly if it was an area where I wasn't actually that skilled myself, then people would get quite almost offended by that. But it was just natural. I could see things that in other people that they couldn't. I just had a feel for it. My dad passed away in March 2005, and nothing has you questioning your very existence like losing someone that you love so dearly. And I can still remember at his funeral the thoughts of inadequacy by listening to all the different people tell stories of the amazing things that he'd done, how he'd contributed to the world, to all these different communities, to the positive impact he was having in the world. And I remember having the thought, if I died today, if this was my funeral, what would people have to say about me? Now, I now know that actually I was probably being far more positive, not probably, I was being far more positive and having more of a positive impact on people than I thought. But at the time, I just knew that I was so not playing to my highest. I was not having the impact I really deep down wanted to make. And so then came the pain of the grief of losing my dad, which anyone who's lost anyone will, you'll know it comes in waves. I remember one day, 11 years later, walking home, just a random date. The dates never seem to get me. Anniversaries, birthdays, when anniversary of the day that he passed, none of those things got me, but just randomly. And I'm walking home just 100 meters down the street from where I am, just suddenly a realization that I'll never get to see him again. Even though I'd thought about that so many times, thought about him every day, and just overwhelmed with tears and emotion, and walked in the front door and my family's like, what's going on? I'm like, it's okay. I'm just processing some more stuff. By then I'd already done a fair bit of work on healing, but at the time afterwards, so much grief and so much pain. And this is when I learned about although I didn't know it at the time, the seemingly ongoing tsunami of grief that just keeps crashing down on you. After 2 weeks, everyone gets on with their life, and then you're left going, well, where do I go now? What do I do? I'm all alone in my pain. And it wasn't actually until much later when I started to go through my healing process that I realized how much unresolved grief I had around my dad and the disconnect that I'd felt with him was still having an impact in so many different ways. And so all of this unresolved came to the surface. But then as I went on my healing journey, all of the unknown started coming to the surface as well. Different things that I didn't even know were an issue, which you only find when you peel back the layers. What was interesting is that despite the fact that I had those clear moments of I want my life to be different, actually, I remember having that thought when my first child was born, which was 11 months previous. Funnily enough, when we're having our first child, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to be able to connect with my dad at a real deep level that I've never have before because he loves kids and I can still hear and so much warmth. When I rang home and he answered and I said we'd had a little girl and the joy in his voice, like it still gets me emotional, right? And I was like, this is going to be great. And then 11 months later, he passed. See, that's what grief does, right? It just comes, a moment comes back and I can't even speak. 11 months later, he was gone. And so having that child, I wanted things to be different. I wanted things to be better. I knew I had to be better for this child I'd brought into the world. That only increased when I had my second child. And then in between that, losing my dad, it's like, okay, I want things to be better. But I got stuck on a bit of a treadmill of like, I want to be better, but I didn't know how. And that's because I had no one to help me. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know where to ask. So one of my intentions for this space is one of the reasons why I created this is because I want to be able to provide that to people. I want them to be able to have a place where they can go to hear stories of from other people. So the interviews that I will be doing, that I have done already, that I'll be playing to you about how people have overcome what they're working through, the messages that I'll send you regularly. So I'm talking 5 days a week. I'm going to come on here and it'll either be an interview or I'll jump on and share you some tidbit or bit of magic from my life to help you through whatever you're working through. And when I talk about grief, right, grief can be the loss of a loved one, but it can also be the loss of a job. It can be the loss of a relationship. There are so many things that people can relate to in terms of grief, but it's also those moments from our past, like I talked about when I was quite young, the moments that had created that shy kid that had left me feeling not able to be my authentic self, which was a sensory and highly conversational kid who wanted to be connected but just felt far from that. And I'll talk about how that came to be in later episodes. But grief shows up in so many different ways, and so many of those moments of grief have been installed from quite a young age, from really at times insignificant moments to the other people in our world. But as small children, they had such massive impacts and left such an indelible mark on our soul. So I want to give you all the tips to help you move beyond that and to really start unlocking those things that I mentioned before, to find that meaning, that fulfillment, to find the confidence, the direction, to be able to live the life on your terms, to live life how you want to live it. So I'm going to share with you my own journey, how when after the financial crisis 2007-2008, me realizing that when in Australia, the superannuation that we have here for retirement, when the markets crash, so does your superannuation, and you can't necessarily retire because you have not enough money in your account. And I'm like, okay, this is no good. I need to actually take it. I need to take responsibility for my financial future. I'll share messages around how I got my first mentor and how I just couldn't get enough of this healing and growing. Like, I learned about mindset, and then I had fairly early on into my journey, I had a realization that I can help other people, and I started a business, although it wasn't really a business at the time because it wasn't making any money, but it was the foundation of working out what it is I wanted to do. I have had profound moments since then, like a trip to Bali, which was meant to be business building, but meant to be, it ended up being a massive healing trip. Letting go of a lot of the grief with my dad. A trip I had to the top end of Australia, in a part of Australia where people would have heard of Kakadu, perhaps from movies, if you're not Australian, and a place in Australia, Arnhem Land, where people like me, non-Indigenous, don't get to go unless they're invited. And I had some pretty deep dreams. People come to me, Indigenous people come to me in my dream and give me messages of what my mission on this earth was, and still get tingles now thinking about it. So these moments have left a big impact for me. I'll share how I the grief from my corporate days and how I overcame that, moving out of corporate into my own business, how I started to awaken my own abilities, my own gifts, when I realized that I had the ability to heal others through my own healing. I learned to be able to show others to do the same. Realizing how much unresolved and unknown I had, realizing that there were moments in my life, like a girl that I was seeing in my last year of school who passed away suddenly, and how I didn't deal with that at all. In fact, I just suppressed it, didn't know how to deal with it, so I just didn't. And other moments that, I want to share, and how I've come to release those and be able to let go of so much that was holding me back. In more recent times, we've going through a global pandemic, and a lot of people are being faced with, it's really shining a lot on the grief that you've encountered, that it's a global grieving moment. And but it is also an opportunity to heal, and it's an opportunity to let go, and it's an opportunity to move forward. And that's what the grief code is for, to unlock all of those parts of you that are waiting to come out, so that you can be the person that you truly want to be, the person that I know you are meant to be. So through this awakening process, through this healing process, through my growth process, I suddenly was exposed to all this information that I'd never been exposed to before. I was learning about all these different opportunities and possibilities and new ways of looking at life. I remember hearing guys like Robin Sharma talk about, you know, these abilities for me to get better, and like reading different stories. Like he has the book, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, talking about how chasing money and the wrong things doesn't actually get you to happiness. It actually leads you to burnout. But if you go on a journey and find out more about yourself and what you're truly meant to be doing, then it doesn't mean you have to leave your job by any means. It means you can bring more of that purpose to your everyday life, because we all have our different journeys, right? It doesn't mean you have to go and start a business, but there are ways to find purpose in your day-to-day, no matter what your career will be. Like I said, as I healed, I was inspired to help other people to heal. I took so much of my journey alone. I never want anyone else to go through what I went through, and that's why I really, yeah, this is my purpose, to help other people who are going through this. I want things to be different for you. I don't want you to spend 6 years on the treadmill like I did, wanting to change but not knowing how. I don't want you to have those moments where you just feel completely alone in your pain, that you feel like, even maybe within your own household, that you're an outsider. And so I want to be your guide through this process, so you don't have to go through this alone. The nature of grief means that you are going to have to go through this pain. You can do it two ways. You can go through it alone, and it will bubble to the surface and come out in really challenging times, which some of you may have already experienced. Or you can go through it in a way where you allow yourself to process it in a healthy way. You can't suppress it forever. It will continue to bubble to the surface, like I said. And if you don't deal with it, it will explode out some way, whether that's through a emotional reaction, a mental breakdown, complete spiritual disconnect, or a physical ailment. So you get to make a conscious choice. Do you take control and self-responsibility for your healing journey, or do you leave it to fate, and when that bubbles out and explodes, you deal with the repercussions then? So you get to make a conscious choice, and the conscious choice is, well, it's to prioritize yourself, to prioritize you. So I started this podcast because I want you to see that there is life after grief, and it can be more magnificent than you can ever possibly imagine. So we're going to explore the different aspects of grief, and I want to tell you about those in a minute. But first, what I want to tell you quickly about how this is going to work. 5 times a week, I think I've mentioned already, I'm going to drop in, I'm going to share a message. Some of these messages might come at random times, right? So I'll get ideas, as I already have. I've started recording some of the episodes for this podcast already. I'll come at random times, and I will literally just record them where I am. So I might be out and about with my family. I might be at kids' sport. I might just be in the kitchen having heard a song. So you might get some background noise, but I'll do my best to keep it as clean as possible. But I want to share the messages when they come through, and I'm inspired to share them, and not wait and then which will water down the meaning and water down the message. I'm going to make it as authentic and as raw as possible. So I hope that that's okay with you. It's how it's going to be anyway. But yeah, like I said, I want it to be as real as possible. Now, the other thing is, I'm going to share interviews that I've done, and I recorded these interviews live on Facebook. So some of the times people are going to be talking about different moments about what you can see. And as much as possible, I knew those interviews would be podcasts. So I've tried to make it so that they will very much work in a audio only setting. But if I'm talking about people who have dropped comments in, it's because while they were watching the live, they made comments. But the messages in those interviews will be about people sharing all that they've overcome, all of their obstacles, all of their grief, and what they've been able to achieve as a result of overcoming all of these obstacles in their way. So before I tell you about the seven elements of the grief code, I want you to keep an open mind with this. You would have already had those moments of synchronicity, right, where you almost knew what was coming next, or you thought about someone and they rang you at that same time, or you just happened to run into someone who you'd just been thinking about the other day, or you popped around the corner as you were thinking about them and there they were. So we're going to talk more about that sort of stuff. And how this information came to me was, I had a dream not so long ago, actually, and the dream said to me, there are seven things that you need to talk about. Now, I've made a habit of recording my dreams. I've helped others to decipher and interpret their dreams. And so I'm like, okay, what are those seven things? And I had worked with my coach at the time to go, well, what are those seven things? And she said the same thing she usually does, which is just ask. So I meditated and I asked, and I got the seven areas that I need to talk about. And none of them will surprise me, because these are areas that I talk about already, but they came through a meditation. The first one is, you hold the key to your better life. Two, how you treat yourself determines your value. Three, when you are ready, you will release your darkness. Four, you will always feel better when you heal from your grief. Five, through growth and contribution, you will find your purpose. Six, learn to receive and the answers will always come. And seven, peace will prevail when you are the light. Now, like I said, keep an open mind. Some of those may not mean anything to you at this point. What I'll tell you is that this is a roadmap for your future, for our future, for the future of humanity. Freedom and love awaits as you adopt each element. I'm going to share this with you too. Keep an open mind. I wanted a symbol for each one of those seven areas. So again, I asked in the meditation, and what came through really quickly was each of those seven messages relates to the seven chakras of the energy body that we all have. So I'll be sharing more about that as we go as well, and some pretty cool moments I've had in that space. So welcome to the Grief Code. I'm looking forward to sharing with you all of these messages and more, and to help you through whatever you're working through to unlock the Grief Code so that you can find the life that you want and live it on your terms. See you in the next episode. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Grief Code podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Please share it with a friend or family member that you know would benefit from hearing it too. If you are truly ready to heal your unresolved or unknown grief, let's chat. Email me at info@ianhawkinscoaching.com. You can also stay connected with me by joining the Grief Code community at ianhawkinscoaching.com/thegriefcode. And remember, so that I can help even more people to heal, please subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.